Welcome to the BCMA podcast. I'm your host, Lorenda Calvert, and today I'm joined by Adrian. Adrian, do you want to introduce yourself to our listeners?
I would love to. My name is Adrian Bogdan. I grew up in Prince George, British Columbia. I did my schooling at UBC, both my undergrad and my master's in archival studies. Then I moved to the island, and I work now for the Sydney Museum and Archives as their assistant director and archivist.
That's wonderful. How long have you been with Sydney?
This is going to be my second month here, and only the second job I've worked in the sector. I also worked a summer job in Prince George at the Railway and Forestry Museum.
Oh, wow. Super new. Congratulations on your new position.
Thank you. It's been a wild ride so far, but I'm enjoying it.
That's fantastic. Yeah, congratulations. So, I mean, this is a weird question then to ask someone who's so new into a position, because you may not be able to answer it about your organization, but you can answer it about the future in general. Because today we're talking about the future, and I want to know what you think the future holds.
Ah, good question. No holds barred. I think, as many other things, there's probably a ton of things that heritage organizations have to worry about for the future. The one that stands out most to me is probably digital preservation, preserving all of a museum's digital objects forever. It's a really interesting problem to me. And a lot of people think that just because you've digitized something means that you'll have it forever, but that's not always the case.
Yeah, I found that out. I was sharing a lot of resources on the website when I first joined with BCMA, because there was so much coming out in regards to COVID. And we just went and updated our website. We're on a new platform, new URL. And I went through my links and everything from March. So it hadn't even been a full year. And I had a whole bunch of dead links and updating the website. I was looking at stuff that had been put on the website maybe 5 years ago, and it was completely gone. And I know that's a different type of digital preservation. But it was just interesting to me that these things that get produced, that people always tell you things on the internet are forever. They weren't, they're gone. I don't know where they are now. They disappeared. I'm sure they exist somewhere in the internet forever, but not in a way that I could reach them. So when you're saying digital preservation, what are you talking about?
Kind of the same thing. It's part that the things you put on the internet won't stay there forever. And it's also part like things on a hard drive won't be accessible forever, because the hard drive can physically degrade. The actual bits, like the ones and zeros that make up the information, can also degrade over time. There's something called bit rot. And if you go to open a file years after it's created, or decades even, it can just say, oh, the file's been corrupted and it's no longer accessible. It's just like a physical medium that the actual thing holding it together can and will break down over time.
And let's not forget things like floppy disks and CDs. If that is the way that you've preserved something, you have to have a means to retrieve that information. And if you don't have a thing that can access that, like I know that it was really hard to find a VCR for a training video we had at my old job on how to use the printing press. So we had this really old VCR that we like cherished and it had lived a very pampered life because it was the only way we had to play this training video.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's so cool. I'm glad that I was on the mark, because I know that digital preservation can mean so much to so many people. So when you're thinking about the future and you're thinking about digital preservation, do you have any ideas of how we could address it? What we could be doing better?
Yeah, I mean, if I knew the answer to that, I would probably... I would have probably said something by now. I wouldn't have kept it to myself. But there's a lot of things you can do to help prevent it. You gotta be thinking, you know, 10, 20 years in advance for software obsolescence. It's like, yeah, you can burn a bunch of stuff to CDs and DVDs and Blu-rays now. It's like, do you think people in 20 years are going to have a Blu-ray reader? Mm-hmm. Probably not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe sometimes digital preservation might include keeping the paper copy so that you can go back and make a new digital copy in 20 years. It might include the idea that you have to hold on to the physical artifacts or physical documents that you want to preserve, because the digital copies in 20 years, the software that you used or the hardware that you used to read them might be totally obsolete. Mm-hmm. And it's a very interesting balance you have to strike between the two.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at a stack of CDs right next to my desk right now and floppy disks. And it's like, well, you know, that we have an oral history program all recorded on cassette tapes. And it's, oh, how many times are we going to have to re-digitize it in a new format every time we go through it? And mm-hmm. It takes a lot of time and effort to do so. And, you know, chance of loss every time that you go through this process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the chance of loss and like the degradation is also very interesting to me, because it does mean that there could be a point that if you're not actively doing this, you've missed your opportunity. And there could be a time where it's the last time. This is the last time that you are going to be able to access this thing. All super, super interesting. It's something that's come up in previous podcasts and which will be timely if you're listening to all of these in a row. The stuff that's being produced for COVID, I think is during this pandemic, is really, really neat. And I know that a lot of it was made as a Band-Aid. And I just really, really hope that whatever happens post-pandemic, we think about how we are going to store those digital events and digital programs in a means that people can still use them and engage with them. And long-term recording of those things, because it's a representation, not of the historical experience of the pandemic, but also just this cool stuff that we made. And maybe like 2 years from now, your site's going to have like a flood, or you're going to be snowed in, your town's got like 5 feet of snow and you got to close down for 2 weeks. And you can be like, hey, check out this online tour we did 2 years ago, this online craft we did 2 years ago, keep you guys busy. Well, you can't actually access the site because it's snowing or things like that.
I think you made a very good point. And it's one thing that we can take away from this pandemic is that it's made a lot of organizations look at the way they offer accessibility to their either their space or their items. And it's made people realize that, oh, there's a lot of people who probably can't come and see the items physically. How can we address this? How can we make our things more available to people just in terms of like an online presence or digitally or anything? Why can't we have digital exhibits that people can go through? I think it's a very good point that you raised.
Thank you, and 100%. Now, Adrian, do you have any last thoughts for us?
Good question. I guess just when you're thinking about digitizing collections and about the future of everything in an archives or a heritage organization, try and keep in mind that you have to think not just 20 years in advance, but like hundreds of years, and think about how the things that you're using are going to be, how they're going to be seen even, you know, 5-10 years down the line. It's a very interesting thing to think about, like why you're keeping it the way you are.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much. Such good thoughts to be leaving us with. If people wanted to reach out to you to chat with you further or to learn more, how can they do so?
They can reach me at my email address. It is assistantdirector@sydneymuseum.ca. You can also phone us. Our phone number is 250-655-6355. And I would love to chat about this. This is super interesting to me. So please do reach out if you feel the need.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I'll link your museum's website in the podcast description so people can find out more. And thank you again, Adrian, for joining us and chatting with us today.
Thank you for having me. It was a really interesting talk.